Three of the five seats on Visalia City Council will be decided by voters on Election Day, November 8, 2005. In September, each of the eight certified candidates were given the opportunity to be interviewed by freelance reporter and interviewer Chris Haberman of Visalia. Each bona fide news interview is about 30 minutes in length and will be broadcast exclusively on KVLP throughout this election season. You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Amy Shuklian.
All right, I'm here at the home of Amy Shuklian, who is running for City Council, and we're here to find
out. Welcome to my home.
Well, thank you very much, and I was greeted by her two
yes.
lovely chocolate labs.
A little exuberant when visitors come over.
Believe me, I've been there, had a lab. So, Amy, maybe we could start. I mean, I know a lot of folks in Visalia do know you, but there are probably a lot who don't.
Okay.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do for a living, how long you and your family have been in the area here.
Okay. Well, I was born in Visalia in 1962. There, I just gave away my age. You can figure that one out. I have no problem with that. Just don't ask me how much I weigh. So I was born and raised here. Actually, I grew up out towards Hanford, right on the county line. I lived on the Hanford side of the street. Across the street was from Visalia, but I attended Hanford High School. But all my family business took place in Visalia, so I've always considered myself a Visalian. Been very involved in activities. My family, my mom was membership director for 13 years at the Visalia Chamber of Commerce, so did a lot of community service herself.
I knew her there, Rose.
Yes, huh? That's her, Rose. That's my mom.
All right.
So I ended up leaving and going to Fresno State. I graduated in 1987 from Fresno State with a degree in recreation administration and worked for about 13 years in Fresno in the mental health field as a recreation therapist. Then in 1999, my father passed away, and I decided to come back, stayed with my mom for a while, helped my brother out on the family farm, and ended up back in Visalia. Bought a house here 3 years ago, just in time.
Well, let me ask you the obvious question that I've asked everybody who's running. Why the heck would you want to run for city council?
A lot of people ask me that. Why not? Visalia is a great city, and it's always been. And when I came back to Visalia, actually before I actually even moved back to town, I was at a park opening, a grand opening for Stonebrook Park, and I ran into Donna Bailey, who was the community services director, and said, "Hey, when is Visalia going to get a dog park?" And she looked at me and said, "When you get a group of people together and raise the money and do it."
That's great.
And that's what I did, you know, and getting involved. I love that. And when people come up to me now, being on the Parks and Recreation Commission and on the foundation, I get phone calls and they say, "Well, we got a problem at this park or this park." And I said, "Come to the meetings and you need to get involved." And that just kind of snowballed for my community service. After the park was developed, it was overwhelmingly successful. We have two parks now. I was asked to be on the Parks and Recreation Commission. I've been on that commission for 2 years. Parks and Recreation Foundation. And hello, Godiva.
And for the benefit of the recording here, we're being visited now by Godiva Chocolate Lab, who's banging to the table.
Who was actually my inspiration for the dog park. I have to admit, the dog park thing at first was somewhat of a selfish endeavor. I wanted a place to take my dog, but of course it turned into a great experience for me. That's what got me into the community service. And I just love it. And I think, you know, city council is probably one of the highest forms of community service. And I go to a lot of meetings and I'm involved in a lot of activities. And it's time to challenge myself, you know, when human nature is just to challenge and learn and grow. And I like to be a part of the decision-making process now.
Well, what do you think are the major issues that you see that are facing Visalia, the kind of things that perhaps you'd be putting your emphasis on should you become a city council person?
Everybody, of course, is looking at growth. Everywhere we grow, everywhere we go, we grow. And, you know, there's constantly letters to the editor, both for and against. So I know growth is a major issue to a lot of people. Personally, when I moved back here, I was pleased with the way Visalia was growing. We got a lot of businesses, and you know, we had Packwood Creek and a lot of those places that used to be in Fresno, and we would have to travel out of town, and you know, our money that was earned here was being spent in Fresno.
Right.
And now we have those places, and I look forward to us getting more of those types of businesses and developing economically so we can again keep the tax revenues here. As far as the housing boom, again, I'm not against that type of growth. I would like to see us using more of the smart growth principles as we grow, using infill. I'm very excited, very, very excited. I went to the task force meeting about the East Visalia revitalization.
Right.
And that is just, I want to start on that tomorrow. And I want to be a part of that because it's very exciting. It's very innovative. And as, you know, Bruce Ray said, when Visalia does this, it's going to make national news. And I think it's going to make our quality of life a lot better. It's going to, again, we're keeping downtown, that central core, and keeping it vibrant, which I think will keep the whole city vibrant.
And so when you mention that you think it'll be really unique and make national news, mm-hmm. which aspect of it, the citizen involvement in it, or what?
Well, you know, a lot of people say, you know, throw out the term smart growth. And,
yes.
You know, to some people who haven't researched it and studied it, it's like, well, sure, we should grow smart. But smart growth is actually a concept with principles, and there's 10 principles. There's mixed land uses. There's taking advantage of compact building design. There's creating a range of housing opportunities, quality housing for people of all income levels. There's creating walkable neighborhoods. I think that's really important. You know, a lot of times we drive around town, and a lot of our neighborhoods have walls around them, and we're stuck in getting into our car and having to drive out of that maze, driving miles to the store or the mall. So creating more walkable communities where, you know, our stores and our laundry, you know, and even our jobs are nearby. When I purchased my house, that was one of the things I looked at, the proximity of where I live. And, you know, I'm less than a mile from work. Took
right.
my bike in yesterday to get it tuned up so I can start riding.
Good for you. Now that the heat has abated.
The heat has abated, and of course, you know, the price of gas. And I think, you know, it's unfortunate that the gas has gone up that high, but maybe it's making people take another look at other forms of transportation, which we need to look at, you know, not only for our personal pocketbooks, for the environment and our city, you know, the quality of life.
So would it be fair to say that it, as opposed to the type of housing developments that we've seen going on, that you would favor growth being pushed more inside the city boundaries, or redevelopment projects, or some combination?
Some combination. Again, I love the idea of, you know, the living spaces above the retail spaces. You know,
right.
the project that Troy Korsgaden is working on right now with the restaurant and his living space above it, where you're able to walk out your front door, hop on a trolley or a light rail system, you know, go down, take a walk, have dinner, go to a movie. Everything is encompassed in your neighborhood, almost like districts.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
San Francisco,
yeah.
Seattle, Oregon, right. They have the districts. I have a friend who lived in Noe Valley in San Francisco, and it was so cool to just walk out your door and walk two blocks down, and you've got the little grocery, and you've got the laundry,
oh, yeah.
and you've got a restaurant.
Yeah, I used to live in the Potrero, and I used to
okay.
walk all the way
you
up
know
to the
them.
Noe
you know
Valley.
I mean.
Yeah, for breakfast on Sunday.
Yeah, and
absolutely.
Visalia has always been a quaint town, and I think that would just keep up with that whole concept.
What do you see doing about the parking problems that still plague the downtown? I mean, a lot of people say, God, I'd move downtown in a second, but, you know, we could barely get, you know, businesses in there because, you know, the parking is such a problem.
Well, and I'm guilty of this. We all have to be able, you know, be willing to walk a little bit more. I mean, our children are obese, and I think we're used to having it easy, you know. Excuse me. We want to park right in front of the store, get out, run in, get back in our car, and go. And
right.
I think in order to have, you know, we're working on a new parking structure, and in order to have that nice downtown, we're going to have to hoof it a little bit. you know, and we have the trolley system. If we can work that into, you know, having pickups at the parking spaces and whatnot, then, you know, to me, that's not a problem.
How do you think that the Bass City Council has been handling the growth issue? Do you have any fault with the way that things have been going?
Yeah, sure. I all the councilmen right now, I get along real well. I interact with them all very well. They have been supportive of the issues that I have brought. You know, of course, the dog park, everybody was very supportive of that.
Right.
I'm currently on the board of the Valley Oak SPCA, and we're working on them right now with some, you know, the animal control issues, and we're just kicking off our new building campaign, and they have all been very, very supportive of that. But of course, there, you know, have been some things in the past I haven't agreed with. I didn't agree with the auto mall being way out there on Plaza Drive where they say it's going to be. Go ahead.
What do you see the issue is there? What's your problem with that?
My problem with that is we're separating the town. We've got our auto district. We have a lot of the auto dealers down there who are currently working on, you know, the Visalia Motor Mile. And I think that's a great concept. Again, having another district. We have our auto district.
So meaning that a lot of the auto service providers
absolutely.
Have clustered around that area?
Right. And once, you know, I don't know who's planning on moving to the auto mall. I don't know currently when it's even going to, you know, open.
Right.
But if people start migrating out there, then, of course, all the little businesses will start migrating out there or want to migrate and be closer to that. And what's going to happen to East Visalia? To those, you know, my fear is that we'll have more blight and difficulty having infill with that area.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Amy Shuklian.
Is it a concern of yours at all that that there are still bonds that need to be paid off from the building of the auto mall that the people of Visalia are responsible for, the Ben Maddox auto mall?
Well, to be honest with you, that's not something that I have researched that well, but look, I'm writing it down right now, and I will look into that. That must have been before I moved back to town.
What else do you think is are some of the major issues that you'd like to see addressed should you become a city council person?
Well, of course, you know, being on the Parks Commission and on the Parks and Recreation Foundation, I'm a big supporter of having adequate facilities or state-of-the-art facilities. I think the Anthony Center that was just opened up, the community center is a beautiful thing. Recreation Park is really dear to me. The Valley Oak SPCA, along with Tail Waggers, which is the local guide dog puppy raisers, we're having a doggy parade. I'm getting a plug in here also.
Hey, go for it.
On September 24th, and we're going to parade down Main Street from the Fox Theater, and it was my idea for us to end up at Recreation Park and have a carnival. I would love to see Recreation Park revitalized. A lot of people see that as a negative place, you know, with they think it's, you know, drug dealers and the homeless. But I think once you put life into an area like that, it creates life.
As part of a vision that you have for Visalia, would you increase the amount of park space that we have, or do you have any thoughts on specifically what you might push or sponsor in the way of park development?
I agree that we need more green space, and when I say that, more parks. I'd like to drive, you know, I was in Irvine a few months ago, and it seemed like every corner there was an open green space with a park. And I would like to see, I don't feel like I'm seeing more of that. In the older neighborhoods that we drive, you know, you drive around, you see Houck Park and Blaine Park and Stonebrook Park, and I'm not seeing a lot of that anymore. We do have a grand opening on Saturday for a new park, Cherry Meadows Park, which is at Wallen and Pinkham. That's our newest park that is opening. But as far as just general driving around, I'm not seeing a lot of that, and I'd like to see more green open spaces. Some of the developments are putting in what they call the pocket parks.
Yeah, tell me about that.
I'm not a big supporter of pocket parks. I mean, I would like to see bigger neighborhood parks. The pocket parks, I think, are going to get a lot of use, and they're going to get worn out.
How big would a pocket park be? Can you explain for our listeners?
Pocket parks are what a lot of people are putting into developments that are a half acre, small parks that just serve those houses within that, you know, that neighborhood.
So a good thing, but maybe not
big
enough.
It's good for the people who live in the neighborhood, but again, I think we're losing that sense of community. I like to see more community parks, more destination parks. Of course, we have the sports park going in, which is going to be an incredible thing. We're looking, I believe, at the spring of 07 for that to be open, and that's going to be a great...
So you really you like that idea of the big sports park?
Oh, I love the idea of the big sports park, and phase one is all paid for, and we're working on raising money on the foundation for some special amenities like the special Leathers playground. But it's, pretty soon we'll need to start raising money for the second phase of it. And recreation programming is also very important.
Yeah, no one's really mentioned that I've talked to yet. What do you think of that?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why it's very important. It's very important because, again, like I said earlier, our children, I was at a conference in Sacramento, the Parks and Recreation Conference, and, one out of two children born in California are going to end up with diabetes.
Because of the obesity.
So again, we need to have those open spaces for kids to get out there and play. Recreation programs also are important because I think we need to hit these children and divert them, because gang activity, if we don't have a way to divert the kids, a lot of them are going to get involved in gangs.
Are there adequate facilities for kids all over the city? For soccer or baseball or whatever?
There will be, again, with the sports park. But I would like to see more. I would like to see more programming. And I don't think it's just up to the Parks and Recreation Department. I would love to see, and they already do, but I would love to see more of the nonprofit organizations, more of the faith-based organizations, churches get involved and have these programs so that our youth can get involved in the positive things before they get recruited into gangs.
Do you have any specific thoughts as to how you might push the development of that, or would you put together, a coalition of people to tackle the problem? Or how would you approach it?
I think that would be great. I mean, we have the Parks and Recreation Commission now. Being on that, I would love to have some of these faith-based organizations and some of the nonprofits come to us and say we'd like to partner with the city in doing this. I think that would be a great thing.
It always seemed to me that I don't have children myself, so I don't know, but it always seemed to me that I see lots and lots of families and kids involved in softball leagues, little leagues, so the soccer. I mean, every time I turn around, I'm falling over a kid in a uniform.
Right.
But do you feel that there are adequate facilities for those to take care of all the kids, and that's maybe limiting why we don't have more kids involved?
It could be. What I hear from parents is there's not enough. I work with a gentleman who's a soccer coach.
Okay.
And again, he's really looking forward to the sports park opening because there's not those adequate facilities. And a lot of the facilities that we have belong to somebody else. Like, Cahuilla Delta has some facilities, and I see people out there practicing soccer and things on those, but that's where they're going to be building their dialysis unit. So that's going to be a practice spot, and in front of the Lifestyle Center. That's another area. Mm. And I think it's wonderful that the district allows these people to use these spots, but eventually we're going to lose those spots.
Oh, all right.
So, yeah, that's I would like to see more areas.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess while we're talking about kids, do you have any thoughts on how the city ought to be working with the school districts?
I do. I think it's real important. I've been attending, since about March. I attend all the city council meetings. I'm going to be one of the most informed citizens if I'm not elected, but I will be elected.
I think I'm going to be in competition, having talked to all the candidates.
But I think it's great, that the council, meets I'm not sure if it's quarterly or twice a year. They have a joint, just 2 weeks ago, there was a joint city council, Visalia Unified. And I think it's real important that we keep that relationship with them. Again, you know, going back to recreation, which is, you know, not my only area of expertise, but, you know, we have to share a lot of facilities because we don't have enough facilities. So we do share, so we need to have that collaboration with them as far as recreation and facilities. So it's very important to have,
right,
have that.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Amy Shuklian.
You know, you also mentioned, of course, gangs, and you know, I assume that Visalia still has a gang problem.
We do, very much.
Back
so.
When I was practicing law, I was aware of it,
yes,
being a criminal defense attorney. But what are your thoughts on what needs to be done for gang eradication or prevention?
Well, like I said, well, first of all, of course, enforcement and prosecution is something that has to take place with the ones that are in it now. But again, having an outlet and getting to these kids at a younger age, and the police department, something that we just did is teamed up with Visalia Unified School District and put in officer into, he will be going to all the schools for a week at a time and doing education with first, second, third, fourth graders, and trying to get to these kids and tell them the dangers of gangs and how to avoid becoming involved in a gang, and teaching them about the areas of, you know, gang talk and gang colors and how important it is not to get involved. So I think that is imperative, that we get to these kids and give them and show them a way other than getting involved in a gang. You know, a lot of these kids, why they get involved in gangs is because they have no sense of family. They have no sense of self, no self-esteem, and that's what a gang gives them. And if we can have somebody in there, like Officer Zig, or Zeig, I believe his name is, who is a wonderful man. I met him, and what a, he's going to be a mentor to a lot of these kids. If we can get somebody like him and get more people like them into the schools and give these kids a role model so that they don't have to go that way of the gangs and have that family sense there,
right,
I think that's a great program. That's a good start.
Do you have any other thoughts on police coverage and law enforcement, public safety in the city, things that you'd like to address should you get on the city council?
Well, I feel pretty safe in the city. I think, of course, with Measure T being passed, that's going to help us out quite a bit, both with fire and with police safety. I think the COPS program, our community-oriented policing program, is a really good program. It gives the different neighborhoods who have that officer assigned to them. Again, I'm going to go back to, you know, the districts. I love the feeling of the districts.
Cop walking the beat.
Cop, exactly. You just took the words out of my mouth. The cop walking the beat. People know who he is.
Okay.
They can go to him. They feel comfortable. It's not, you know, the cops against us. It's there's, you know, there's our officer, and we're going to go to him, and he can, you know, I love that idea. And I think we can do that in Visalia.
Do you feel we have adequate coverage at this time, given all the growth that's been taking place? We've added so many new sections of town, it seems like.
Right. No, that was something I was going to bring up when we talked about growth, is growth is good as long as we have the money to pay for the increased resources that we need. Again, police and fire, that's on everybody's mind. And fire is another one. You know, we always think about public safety as police, and that's important. But, you know, we just had the big issue with police fire coverage in our southeast area.
Right.
And Chief Sandoval, they work together with the city council and a task force and have that covered. But how long is that going to last before we need to, you know, we broke ground for a new fire station out on Shirk and Riggin,
right,
and there's plans for more, but as we grow, are we going to have the money and the resources, even with Measure T, to pay for that?
And are the new homes that are being built, are the fees that are associated with that, are they adequate to cover all the services that are needed?
Well, obviously not, because... That's something that was discussed. Well, actually, it was continued to the next city council meeting. There is talk about increasing impact fees, not necessarily for fire and police, but for parks and recreation, I believe, for transportation. So I think that's important for the city to get its fair share of the building.
Great. Do you have any other areas that I haven't asked you about that you'd like to address?
Well, I'm a big supporter of arts and culture.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so. I think that's very important, again, for our youth and for the adults to be. I love public art, murals in Visalia.
Oh, would you like to see a mural situation like we have in
like
Exeter?
Lindsay yes, I would. And we had a panel, a mural panel. I'm not really sure what happened with that, mm-hmm. or if people have just not been presenting anything to the commission. But I would like to see that. Yeah, and there are guidelines and all for the murals. So, and public art, the Civic Center. I'm going to be attending the meeting tomorrow, the community meeting, which again I think is great. Calling the whole community in to say, okay, we're going to build a civic center. What do you want to see? And that's my big thing is I see myself, you know, I'm not going into this with my agenda or what I want for the city. I see myself as an advocate and a representative of what the people who don't want to do what I'm doing come to me and say, here's what we would like to see. That's when a lot of people come up to me and they say, well, what's your platform? And I'll tell them my opinion to a certain point,
right.
And then I'll say, but what do you want? Because that's why I'm running. I want to, you know, speak for those who don't like to go up and speak before the council or, you know, write the letters to the editor.
I'm thinking some you probably
reason,
don't
I
have
don't
a
have
problem.
A problem with that.
Yeah,
too much.
I'm thinking you don't have a problem.
Yeah, yet. I don't know. So, you know, I'm committed to make sound decisions based on, you know, research and policy and not just go up there, set in my mind that this is what I want and
right.
this is how I'm going to vote. I'm going to read the staff reports.
Okay.
I'm going to listen to the people that come up and speak at the public hearings during the meetings. And from there, you know, base my vote and my decision on that.
Well, you may have already addressed this in your last answer, but I've been asking all the candidates about teamwork because although, yes, everybody's elected as an individual,
sure.
really are part of a group of people that are working on the city council. And do
Absolutely.
You have any thoughts on how you would fit in as a team player? I've seen all kinds of boards in all kinds of circumstances, and some people have a rather, you know, dug in, you know, I'm right and you're wrong, and other people
building
not consensus.
Me.
What's your approach?
I'm very much a team player. In my work, the work that I do, I'm a recreation therapist at Cuya Delta Rehab. It's a multidisciplinary team every day. That's what
right.
we have to do. We have to work as a team with the therapists and the social workers and the doctors. Prior to coming back to Visalia, I worked a lot on the ropes course, the adventure challenge courses,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
where
yeah.
you climb up the telephone poles and you swing and
yeah.
on the wires, and I was a facilitator for that. And again, that's something that really encourages teamwork. Actually,
I'd like to see Don Landers.
Wait a minute. I'll tell you, remind me to tell you about Don and me in a minute.
Okay.
But now you got me all screwed up. I've got
okay,
what I'm
no, climbing no. telephone poles.
We're
Let's
climbing talk. Telephone poles. Boy, but again, that's something that you have to have a lot of trust and a lot of teamwork in, and that's something, you know, being a recreation therapist, that's something I encourage every day with people.
Right.
Yeah. Now let me tell you about me and Don.
Okay.
I love Don. How's our time?
Yeah. You have about 3 minutes.
I have three minutes.
Three minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at the dog parade and at the doggy carnival afterwards, Don Landers and I, who he's also a Labrador owner.
He has like five dogs.
He has a lot,
right?
lot of dogs. Yeah.
yeah.
He has a lot of those. Those seeing eye dogs that didn't quite make it through the program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
I can't remember what they call those. Anyway, he seems to think that his Labrador can eat biscuits floating in a bucket of water faster than my Molly Brown. And right now, Molly is currently the record holder for that. At the dog walk in April, she ate not only the five milk bones floating in her bucket, but the two dogs next to her bucket before any other dogs finished theirs. So, you think the city council race is going to be hot, I encourage everybody to be at Recreation Park on Saturday, September 24th for Don Landers and my challenge.
Oh, that's great. Oh, well, let me give you an opportunity to take a minute or two if you want to say anything to our listeners to wrap things up, to summarize maybe what you stand for, what kind of vision you'd like to see for Visalia, mm-hmm. In the next few years.
Just like I said, a big thing is that sense of community. When I they say you can't go home. I can't remember who it was that wrote, you can't go home. I came home and it was good. It was a good move. Unfortunately, the circumstances under which I came home weren't the greatest. But when I did, it was just amazing. I have made a lot of friends here getting involved in the recreation department. I consider all those people my friends. And outside of that, I just think it's great that you can, walk down the street and see the chief of police or have lunch, call him up and have lunch.
Right.
I work really hard on the foundation for the free 4th of July fireworks show that we've had the last 2 years.
Good.
And when we're there, our city manager is walking through the stands selling 3D glasses, and the mayor is there, and I think it's just a great community. And I want to make sure that as we grow, which I'm for, that we do it in a responsible way, again, that we have the resources, that we have this sense of, we keep our sense of community, and we have a good quality of life for the citizens who have been here for years, who grew up here, and for the newcomers. I want the newcomers to know what Visalia is all about.
Oh, that's great, Amy.
Yeah.
Our listeners really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, I appreciate your listeners.
All right.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you. All right. Good job, dogs. No barking.
You're listening to 101.5 KVLP LP Visalia Local Power. Freelance reporter Chris Haberman interviews Visalia City Council candidate Amy Shuklian. As a licensed broadcast station, KVLP is serious about the obligation to operate in the public interest and to afford reasonable opportunity for the discussion of conflicting views of issues of public importance. KVLP does not support or oppose any candidate. No money, service, or other valuable consideration has been directly or indirectly paid or promised to or charged or accepted by KVLP from any person or persons or corporation, committee, association, or other unincorporated group or other entity. KVLP is not required to permit the use of its facilities by any candidate and by policy does not grant such requests. Any rebroadcast of this unique news presentation is a violation of FCC regulations. Please email your comments to kvlp@radio.fm. Stay tuned to 101.5 for more candidate interviews throughout this election season. And remember, if you don't register, you can't vote.